So Paul, let's talk music. You have music out there that you're promoting right now. Why don't you tell our listeners about the music that you have out there right now?
All right. Well, first of all, as I mentioned, I came out with an album in 1972 called Twice Upon a Rhyme, which was heard by almost no one. And for many years, the only human beings who heard the album were my wife and then our two kids. It was reviewed, I think, in 2002 in a magazine in Japan, where it was called the Lost Cult Classic. And the only thing that was correct, I was very flattered about that, but the only thing that was correct about that phrase is that the album had been lost for sure. But it gradually began getting, you know, some attention. A small record company, Beatball Records in South Korea, came out with a CD of the album. Another record company, Vivid Records in Japan, put out their CD. A fellow by the name of Anthony Nyland in England remastered the original vinyl, and that came out in 2010, and then he reissued it again in 2011. So the album was percolating around, and about a year and a half ago, I get an email from a small record company up in Buffalo, New York. And the gist of the email is, hey, Paul, you know, we're fans of two of the things you do, your science fiction and your music. And we're wondering, did you ever combine the two? Because if you had eight or so songs, we'd love to record an album with you that is you singing your science fiction related songs. So I'm the kind of person I would have said yes, even if I had never written a song with science fiction lyrics. But the truth of the matter is, and John, you know this from firsthand experience, I had indeed written about five or six songs that were science fiction. And two of them were with John. If I Travel to the Past and Torsetti, which we wrote, I think, at the end of 2010. And I had also written a science fiction song with Peter Rosenthal, who had played guitar on Twice Upon a Rhyme back around 2000-2001, called Alpha Centauri. And I had a couple of other songs laying around. In fact, one song I had started writing in 1968 for my then girlfriend Tina, but all I had written was just a verse. You know how it is. I didn't know where to go with it. About a week or two later, I was like half asleep on a bus, and Paul McCartney came to me in like a daydream. And he said to me, hey, man, what's the matter with you? Here's the next line of your song. And actually, it was a good line. And so I used it, but Paul never came back with any other lines. So there, you know, that song stayed. Fortunately, Tina didn't hold it against me. We got married in 1976, but I was still married, and you know, we have kids and grandchildren now, so everything worked out great on that account. But when Old Bear said, "Hey, you know, do you have any science fiction songs?" Tina said, "Well, how about you know, finishing up that song you started writing for me in 1968? Don't you think you should finish it already?" I said, that's a good idea. And so I sat down, and that became Welcome Up, which is both the song on the album. And we like the song so much, that is I and Tina and Old Bear Records, that we made it the title of the album, which is called Welcome Up, Songs of Space and Time. And I actually debuted almost the complete album at PhilCon a couple of weeks ago. And that, you know, was pretty exciting. And what I did is, you know, we couldn't bring the guys down from Buffalo. Not that it's that far, but, you know, it's a long enough trip to Philadelphia. So instead, what I got are the final mixes of the tracks. And I was able to, you know, put on a pretty good show singing against those tracks. And I sang one of the songs up in Toronto, If I Travel to the Past. That's our song, again, John. And the full album will be released in early 2020. And there'll be, you know, a digital version of a single of If I Travel to the Past on one side, Torsetti, our other song on the other side. That's going to be up any day or two now. And then there'll be a vinyl of the album and so on. So I have to say, you know, as I always tell people, there have always been like three creative mainsprings in my life. There's the scholarly, you know, all the books that I've written about Marshall McLuhan. There's the written science fiction. And then there's the music. And the music has taken a back seat throughout most of my life since 1972. And it really feels good to have that up in the forefront again. You know, I sort of tell people, my master plan was I would come out with this album in 1972 and wait almost 50 years until I come out with the second album. You know, let it set in a little. You know, whether it was intentional or not, that's what happened. And it feels good to be doing this now.
I want to say a little something about Paul. And he mentioned the two songs that Paul wrote the lyrics and I wrote the music to. And this is going back now almost 10 years ago that we did that. It was at the time when I was kind of pursuing performing at cons and things. And I don't really do that anymore. But I will say most of the songs that I wrote during that time were songs that I wrote the lyrics to as well. And I liked writing lyrics, and I thought I got pretty okay at it, but it was always the hardest part about writing songs for me. I had co-written some songs with other people, and especially if you're writing with other authors, I found that a lot of times certain like authors, because they're coming from writing stories and novels and things, a lot of times they would send me things and I would have to change some stuff, you know, just to get it to sing better. It was great working with Paul, and they were probably the two fastest, easiest songs that I ever wrote music to, because Paul is a musician too. And I think he was talking earlier about, you know, how when you read your own stories, or like when you do the audio versions of your own stories, you know, there's a rhythm to it and a way that you read it. And I think because of those two things, him being a musician and him thinking about how the voice sounds, the lyrics were just completely, they were perfect the first time through. All I had to do was sit around and like write a tune to them. It was one of the more enjoyable creative experiences that I had, because we knocked those two songs out like immediately. I feel like you emailed me those lyrics. I feel like I wrote the music to them in like one setting, sent it back to you. And you might've suggested a couple of tweaks or something, but I think for the most part, it was, you know, pretty much done right away. And I really enjoyed the process. So I'm glad to see those songs are seeing the light of day.
Well, me too. And that is indeed how we wrote them. And the same exact thing happened in the recording studio in Batavia, New York, which is where Aubert does its recordings. You know, obviously a song is a song, but how you're going to produce it, what instruments you're going to bring in, you know, that requires a lot of thought and work. And both those songs, both of our songs, just fell together almost instantly. They were the fastest two songs in terms of recording them and getting them right. And just to give some shout outs, Chris Heusington, who's one of the owners of Aubert Records, he did the production on the album. He also is a master at harmonies. He did all the harmonies, and not using like, you know, any digital harmony maker. He did the harmonies himself. The guitarist, Jeremy Thompson, you know, is a genius of a guitarist. And Steve Patton played both keyboard and drums on the songs. So, you know, these guys just went in there and, you know, they've heard the songs before. But we spent 3 days recording the whole album. And of those 3 days, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 2 hours maximum were spent on If I Travel to the Past and Tor Ceti. So that says something right there, I think.